Forward to a wonderful day with you. We're going to be in the school this week as well, and so I'm going to have the chapels every day in school. If you're available, we'd like to have you to come and be in the chapels too. Cheryl's going to come up to the piano, and she's going to sing for us in just a moment. While she's coming, I'll say something about her table over there. And Cheryl has a couple of new things. Well, actually, only one since we've been here last time, and I think that's the cards. She's doing cards of my pictures on the computer. And so if you would like some greeting cards, I don't think you're going to be able to beat the price, I'll tell you that. And you might pick up some of those, and then Bible covers and some of the other things over there. My pictures. Some of you might want my pictures. I'll be doing some more pictures as time allows me this week. We're getting into Christmas season, and a lot of people buy them this time of year, so you might want to pick up one or two of those as a gift for someone. I don't know. Let me know. Let me know as soon as you can about that, because I'll be drawing them this week in my spare time. As I did in Sunday school, I'm going to say a few words about the North American Union. How many of you have heard of the North American Union before the service this morning? Well, a couple of you. The North American Union by 2010 is the merger of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. By 2010, and I'll be speaking on that subject on Thursday night, and the title of that message is The North American Union and the Rebuilding of Babel. And so invite everyone you possibly can this week to be in that service, well, tonight as well, and bring friends and relatives. Let's have a great Thursday night service this week. Amen. And I'll be going into this in a lot more detail. What I told the Sunday school, and I'd like for you to do as well, if you have a computer or if you have access to a computer, please do a Google search or a Yahoo search or whatever engine you have, and type in three words and three words only, and that is North American Union. And that'll take you to a site that has hundreds of articles, stories about the North American Union. Only about, I'd say less than 10%, maybe not that much, maybe even 5% of the American people know anything at all about the North American Union. And this is a case where it is so blatant that you can't miss it. That the mainstream news media is absolutely controlled. They've been held back like a dog on its leash. And they've not told us one thing about the North American Union, except for one guy. And he only had 4 minutes on the air. And then he was silenced. And that was Lou Dobbs of CNN. Only Lou Dobbs, with a 4-minute segment on CNN, had anything to say about the North American Union. And then his boss, which is Ted Turner, arch globalist, put the clamp down on Lou Dobbs. G. Gordon Liddy has had some things to say about this on his show. Neil Bortz has had some things on his radio show. We have not heard from the Oracle of All Truth, Rush Limbaugh. We have not heard from him on this issue. He was a big proponent of NAFTA. Him and Clinton were right in step with one another. And so he's yet to weigh in on this. Somebody needs to call him and tell him about it, as well as the others. So when you go on this website of North American Union, you'll see all sorts of articles. And I have written my congressman. I urge you to do the same thing. You can do it through the John Birch Society website. And by the way, the Birchers, I'm not a John Bircher, but we have to give credit where credit is due here. And the Birchers were actually the very first people to have an article on this subject. And they had a magazine article in the New American in the summer of 2005. So Phyllis Schlafly of the Eagle Forum has also had an article sometime in the year 2005. And Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum website is quite extensive, and you can do lots of research there. The centerpiece of all this is the North of this North American Union will be the superhighway that is being built. And we'll go into more of that on Thursday night. And the superhighway, which is actually a 12-lane highway, quarter of a mile wide, two rail components, five north and south lanes. The stakes are already in the ground in Texas. The paint is already over the country roads that it's going to cross, but it's basically going to follow I-35. And so you can look at the map there. I think you're going to have a leg of it through here somewhere, heading towards Canada. But you can look at the map, and it's on that website. And I urge you to familiarize yourself with that subject and read about it as much as you can, and then in preparation for Thursday night. And like I told the Sunday school, many people say, one guy over in Iowa, whenever I preached this message, one pastor said, well, our senators don't care anything at all about anything that doesn't concern farming. I said, well, I tell you what, you write him and you'll have a good conscience. The rest is up to him. Do what you can. Do whatever you can. And one day you'll be able to tell your grandchildren, I did all I could to stop it. I did all I could to slow it down. Right. All right, Cheryl, you sing for us, and then we'll get into the morning message this morning. The book of Genesis and chapter 7 and verse 1 through 5 of the book of Genesis concerning the ark that Noah built. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Well, the ark that Noah prepared for the saving of his people is one of the most beautiful and complete types of salvation to be found in all the Bible. And I want to call your attention to just a few very practical points concerning the scripture that we just read this morning. Number one, it was of a divine provision. The ark was not Noah's idea. He did not step out one day and say, hey, it's clouding up around here, maybe we ought to build an ark. He didn't come up with this idea. Long before the flood came, God instructed Noah how to build the ark, what size the ark was going to be, all the specifications of the ark, the type of wood that was to be used, the whole thing. And so it was God who gave to Noah the special instructions of how to build it. And salvation, like the ark, is of divine provision. It's not man's idea. It was not an afterthought with God. Long before man sinned, God provided a plan of salvation. And we see that in Revelation 13:8, that it tells us that of Jesus Christ, that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the old days, they used to have many train accidents because they didn't have the modern communications that we have today. And one of the common things about trains in the old days was two trains would be on the same track heading towards one another. And you can just imagine the terrible accidents that did happen whenever that took place. Well, there was a fellow who knew about two trains being on the same track, and he knew they were heading towards one another, and he could not stop them. He had no ability, he had no way to communicate with the engineers of the train. And so he did the next thing. He rounded up all the doctors and all the nurses, all the medicine he could, and put it on a third train. He put the third train on the track. And the accident did take place. Many were wounded, but along came behind the hospital train. Well, that's a picture of what's happened to man. Man did fall, and death by sin did enter into the human race. But God's placed a third hospital train on the track, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. He was of divine provision. You've heard about the little boy who came to his pastor and said, "Pastor, what can I do to be saved?" The pastor says, "Well, son, you're too late." And the boy said, "Too late to be saved?" And the pastor says, "No, you're too late to do anything about it. Jesus has already died on Calvary for our sin." Not only that, but the ark was a shelter from God's judgment. God's judgment came on the world in the form of rain. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and the whole earth was flooded. This was not a localized flood, as some try to make out. This was not a regional flood. This was not just one section of the world flooded. This was the whole earth that was flooded. It was a catastrophic flood that took place. And some of you have been down to the Grand Canyon, as our family has, and you've looked down to that big hole in the ground. So what caused all this? Well, the flood caused that. The flood ripped this world up. Set the oceans and where they are, and God set the continents where they are. And by the flood did all of this. There was another judgment. The flood was one judgment, but there was another judgment, and that was the judgment of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and the judgment of God fell. And God judged sin on Calvary. And every dirty, rotten sin that I ever committed or you ever committed or ever will commit was placed upon Jesus on Calvary. But what we must do is to accept him by faith, trusting Christ as Savior. Scripture says in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." You are either in Christ Jesus this morning or you are out of Christ Jesus. There is no other way for us to be. Not only that, but Noah and his family were invited into the ark. Look at what verse 1 says. God said to Noah in Genesis in chapter 7 and verse 1, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Over and over we find that invitational word, come. Come. God's saying, come. Over and over in the Bible, come. Come. Notice that he didn't say go. What does that mean? Well, that means evidently God was already inside the ark. I don't know what God was doing there. Maybe he was checking to see that Noah had done the job right, you know. That Noah had built that ark just like God had said to do. But if God were on the outside of the ark, God would have said go into the ark. He would have been driving man into the ark. God doesn't drive any of us. God does not force any of us to be saved. What he does is he issues a invitation. He's saying, come. 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 It reminds me of that scripture. It reminds me of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. God was in that ark, and this morning, my friend, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. You might have heard of that other little boy. He came to the pastor. He says, Pastor, I've memorized a scripture verse. You want to hear it? He says, I sure do. Let me have it. He says, it's in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy and are heavy laden, and I will do the rest. He was a little bit off in his memory verse, but I'll tell you what, we know what he means. I'll tell you what, he had the right theology, didn't he? Come unto me and I will do the rest. Not only that, but the ark only had one entrance. The ark only was built with one door. And friend, there's only one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ. The ark only had one door, and everyone who went inside that ark all went through the very same door. Did you know that Catholics are saved the very same way that Baptists are saved? They are if they get saved. Jehovah's Witnesses and Satanists are all saved the very same way that we are. Everybody's saved the same way because, you see, there's only one way to be saved. Through Jesus Christ. When I was in the Air Force, they gave me a carbine and 60 rounds of ammunition. And they said, you guys are going to be guarding these airplanes. Some airplanes had atomic bombs on them. They said, you are the door to the airplane. As they were training us, the sergeant would tell us, it seemed like every day he told us this, you're the door to the airplane. Nobody comes on this airplane that does not have two things. First of all, they're to have an ID card. They have these little plastic cards with a clipper on it, and you clip up on your lapel or somewhere on your clothing. They had to have that ID card. And the next thing they had to have is they had to have the password. They changed the password every day. Sometimes they would change it twice in one day. But I guarantee you that anybody who had any business around that airplane always had those two things. If they were armaments, or if they were ordnance, or if they were refuelers, or pilots, or whatever they had, whatever job they had, they always had those two things. They always knew the password. They always had that little tag on there. The sergeant would say, "If your mother comes out here." If your mother comes out here, she walks across this flight line, she comes up to you and she said to you, son, I've always liked airplanes. Can I go look around? You're absolutely not to let your mother on this airplane unless she has those two things. They said, if the president of the United States comes out here, did you know that a sentry in the military has more authority than the president of the United States? They said, if the president of the United States comes out here, back when I was in, it was Lincoln. You see him coming across the flight line, and he's got all the reporters around him and all that, all these Secret Service guys. Now, sergeant would say to us, if you see the president coming out here, and he comes up to you, and he says to you, I am commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. I want to go on this airplane. You're absolutely not to let the president on this airplane unless he has those two things. He has to have that tag, and he has to know the password. The sergeant would go on to say, if the president brushes past you and ignores you, and he tries to get on this airplane without those two things, you are to holler halt 3 times. And if he does not halt, you are to shoot him. Because it's not the president! I guarantee you that with all the brass around the president, he's going to know the password and he's going to have one of those tags on. They're going to make sure of it. It's somebody impersonating the president. Because you're the door to this airplane. There's only one way through this to this airplane, and that's through you. And friend, the ark only had one door. And all who are saved go through the very same door. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not only that, but notice something else. No one was born inside the ark, far as we know. No babies were born inside the ark. Everyone was born outside the ark, and everybody had to go inside the ark for safety. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us we're all born lost. We came from our mother's womb as sinners. Lost, the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so all born lost need to be saved by being born again. And once one is born again, they enter into the ark of safety of Jesus Christ this morning, friend. He's the only ark there is. It's the only place of safety there is. Not only that, but notice something else. Everyone who went inside the ark was safe. We don't have any record of anyone being washed overboard of the ark. Cheryl and I grew up in Fort Myers, Florida. Fort Myers, Florida is on the Gulf Coast. And many shrimpers make their headquarters in the Fort Myers area. The Gulf of Mexico is a dangerous body of water. It can be calm at times, and then very shortly it can be raging waves out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Storms come up very quickly at certain times of the year. And when I was growing up, one of the things that impressed me, you know, children are impressed greatly by things that we don't quite comprehend why they're impressed about these things. But I became very fearful about people being washed overboard, because once in a while a crew member of the shrimpers would be washed overboard. It's a very dangerous profession. Storm would come up and wash somebody overboard. They would be lost at sea, and then that would be in the newspapers, and we would see that from time to time. I'm thankful no one was washed overboard the ark, amen? All who went inside that ark arrived safe and sound on Mount Ararat. No one was lost. And friend, once one is saved, cannot be lost. Our salvation does not depend upon us. Our salvation depends upon what Jesus Christ did. Everyone who went inside the ark was safe. And you'll remember that song Fanny Crosby wrote, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Well, actually, the Bible says we're safer than that. It's a great song, but the Bible goes further than that. Because here's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 5 and verse 30 says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And so at the new birth, at salvation, whenever we're born again, we become into the family of God. We're not only safe in the arms of Jesus, we're safe as the arm of Jesus. Because to get to us, the devil has to cut off the arm of Jesus, friend, and the devil doesn't have that kind of power. So everyone who went inside the ark was safe. If you're outside the ark, friend, you can be inside the ark by trusting Christ. And John 10, verse 28 says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So this morning, you're either saved or lost, one or the other. The Bible calls a very distinct decision here. Saved or lost. There's no halfway. There's no one that has one foot in heaven and one foot down here on earth. We're either saved or lost. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to invite you to come forward the moment the invitation is given. Someone will take a Bible, show you from God's Word how you can trust Christ as Savior. Help me by turning out the lights, ushers, and would you close these blinds along the walls so we can get it as dark as possible? Close those along the lamp.